Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly show, The Tenpenny Files on Your Health. The last 24 years, I've given thousands of interviews, and almost all my information, one way or another, has been about vaccines. But as a trained emergency room physician who is the director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years and an integrative medicine physician who's had a busy practice in Cleveland, Ohio since 1996, there are so many other topics about health that I wanted to talk about. So the Tenpenny Files is an educational show where I will bring you valuable information on your health and more. So today's special guest is Nurse Erin McDermott, who stood up boldly against the COVID mandates. Stay tuned. You won't want to miss this. And she's got some great things to talk to us about postmenopausal women and your health. You won't want to miss this. We'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Well, welcome back, everyone. Erin McDermott has been a registered nurse since 1997. After decades in the medical system, she made a bold decision to leave in 2020, standing against what she calls the COVID nonsense. Hear, hear, Erin. Yay, yay. Erin became a prominent activist, raising awareness about the risks of COVID vaccines and mandates and interviewing countless individuals who had been misinformed. Her journey took a tragic turn in September of 2023 when her healthy 79-year-old mother passed away suddenly on a cruise after receiving 3 COVID vaccines. Despite showing signs of severe illness, her mother was given inappropriate treatment and was isolated, leading to her tragic passing. This loss only strengthened Erin's mission to teach others about true health and the dangers of misinformation. After the passing of her mother, Erin shifted her focus to empowering women over 40 years of age through true health and fitness. She founded a fitness center and is now run online with online coaching programs. It's also a sticks and mortar place, and she reaches women worldwide, teaching them the importance of whole food, cardio health, and strength training. Today, Erin inspires women to take control of their health. Erin is passionate about helping women become strong, independent, and confident, which she is herself. Erin, welcome so much to the Tenpenny Files on Your Health. Thank you so much for being here this evening.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Tenpenny. I'm so excited.
Well, tell us, let's start with your journey, from being an RN, and then you walked away because of the COVID nonsense. Tell us what that part of your journey was like.
Well, it started in 2019 when the Massachusetts government wanted to remove the religious exemption for vaccinations. And as soon as I got wind of that, I knew that could not happen because I was in the hospital mostly, and I worked at Children's Hospital Boston. I was an infusion nurse. I worked in their infusion and research center. And, you know, I got to understand that some children had side effects from these vaccines. And one child I will never, ever forget, he had a severe allergic reaction to the MMR vaccine. He had thrombocytopenia. And he came in looking pale. He was just a toddler, and he is bruising all over him. And it was noted that he had the MMR vaccine. And the hematologist said it was definitely a side effect of that vaccine. But since the benefits outweigh the risks, they continue to give it. But what really stood out to me was the look in the parent's face when they were told that their child needed platelet transfusions. They didn't know, you know, for how long. They didn't know he would continue to be healthy. And the look on their face was just, you know, confused, scared, devastation. They thought they were doing the right thing, and their child was very, very sick. So I knew when I got word of that in 2019 that I had to speak out. So I started advocating against the mandate, you know, I worked with Health Choice in Massachusetts, and I went and helped, and I did some, was speaking out about that. And then that 2019 and 2020 hit, right? And I knew that I had to continue to speak out, because as soon as I saw someone with a mask on in a grocery store, I was just so surprised and devastated. And then, of course, the COVID vaccine came out, and I took your course. Thank God for you, Sherry Tenpenny. Your course I took, I learned so much about that. And I had a networking group, and I was teaching them everything I learned about the vaccine and about what you had taught me. I even had some Zoom calls. And at the end of 2020, I decided to walk away, because the medical profession that, you know, taught me everything that I knew turned their back on me, right? And they were forcing nurses to get flu shots and nurses to get the COVID shots. And I knew that I couldn't do that. And of course, everything that I learned from you, that just could not happen. So I walked away. And, you know, the medical system doesn't teach you about true health. It doesn't teach you about nutrition. It doesn't teach you about exercise. It doesn't teach you about prevention. So that's what I really have been putting my focus in, and I haven't looked back. I opened my own in-person fitness studio, because I've done fitness my whole entire life. And because the women were having such amazing results, I decided to go online. And now I focus on menopausal women, perimenopausal, postmenopausal, menopausal women through strength training and nutrition, and just getting them really, really strong.
You know, some of the pictures, the before and after pictures of some of your clients on your website are just jaw-dropping. That just
Yes.
proves that diet and exercise really make a difference. How did you choose that demographic of women of 40 years and older?
Because I'm 53, and, you know, I'm going through it myself. And I know that they're very misinformed. They're misinformed that there's so much misinformation about what's going on and what kind of exercises they should do. You know, and one podcast will say they should do all cardio. One podcast will say they need to eat carnivore. The next podcast will say they need to eat plant-based. And it's so confusing. And I have done this for so long, so I know it's possible to build muscle and get lean and to prevent osteoporosis and osteopenia by strength training and eating properly, right? And what I want to do is I want to prevent women from breaking a bone, breaking a hip, because as you know, if you break a hip and you end up in the hospital, oh my gosh, that's the last thing I want for women, to break a hip, end up in the hospital, have to get surgery, and then they get an infection, and then they end up in ICU, and then they end up in rehab for, you know, 3 months or longer, right? And that is all preventable. It is all preventable through strength training during menopause, postmenopause, and perimenopause. And if you do have osteopenia or osteoporosis, you need to strength train. It's just a non-negotiable, because that will prevent any worsening of that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't remember what the exact stats are off the top of my head, but the morbidity and then the mortality of fractured hips is very
yes.
high. I mean, morbidity for the audience means complications and long-term issues that you have from a condition such as a broken hip. But mortality goes up exponentially too, particularly when you're in the 65 and older age group.
And even if you're 65, you should be lifting weights.
Very good. Very good. Are you familiar with a technology called adjuvant?
Nope.
Okay, so adjuvant, they're a professional partner of ours. Adjuvant, they have actually trademarked a word, Vidakin. That's what it is. It's a Vidakin, meaning that Vidakin, meaning kinetic energy, is like a vitamin for your bones. And this plate that you stand on is very tiny microscopic current and energy that is for osteopenia. And they have incredible results for that. And so for the people that really can't do a lot of exercise, they can stand on this plate. For the listeners, you can go to our website. You can go to drtenpenny.com, hover over the shop tab, and you will see a tab where it says our professional partners. And you can look up and read all about, it's called Juvent is the name of it. It's about the size of like an oversized bathroom scale. It's maybe 2.5 feet wide by 2.5 feet wide by maybe 3 inches tall. And it's tiny little microscopic. It's not the big, rebounder or the vibroplate. It's really tiny kinetic energy. They are really great people. It might be something you might want to think about and putting one of those in your gym.
Yeah, I'll look into
And
it.
stand on it for, they recommend 20 minutes, but I know the people well enough that they say that as little as 10 minutes is enough to make a difference. They've healed bed sores. They've healed like open wounds on ankles and feet because of diabetes by improving microscopic kinetic energy at the very lowest little vibration level. I'm happy to put you in contact with them. And if anybody decides they want to purchase one of those plates, they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. That if you use it for 30 days and you just don't feel like it's done anything in terms of improving circulation, it takes away pain. It's an amazing tool. They have a money back guarantee on it. We have
Nice.
actually done some little work with them in some of our ECP centers where people can stand on the plate and then they get an even better circulation result when they do after they've been on it. So that might be something worthy of your time to just take a look into it. If you want to talk to Peter and the people there, I'm glad to make the introduction for you because they're really an interesting group of people. So osteopenia really is it not only can be prevented by diet and exercise, but it also can be changed with change taking all the acidity out of your diet. So I'm sure that you talk to people about that. What did super simple baseline information do you give people when they get diagnosed with osteopenia?
What I do, first of all, is if somebody wants to work with me, I have to see what they're eating.
Right.
So they have to track everything they eat for 7 straight days. And so I get to see their food diary for 7 straight days. And it really tells a story about how someone's been living, why they are where they are, and what needs to be fixed. Because women don't track their food. And then when they do, it's a big aha moment. It's like, oh, look at all the processed food I'm eating. Look at how high the sodium is. Like sometimes I have women eating like 5,000 milligrams of sodium daily, and they're wondering why they feel puffy and overweight, and the scale goes up and then it doesn't go down and then it goes up. It's because of what they're eating. And then fiber, some women are not getting 8 grams per day, and the recommended is 20 to 25. So we make sure they're getting enough fiber. And then protein, I make sure, whatever type of protein they're eating, I don't care if they're eating meat, no meat, I don't have any judgment about that. But, they do have to get a certain amount of fiber to maintain their lean muscle mass and to build muscle mass. So that is an imperative as well. And I make sure they're drinking enough. So I always look at what they're eating after 7 days, and we get on a Zoom call, we sit down for an hour, we go day by day by day. What are you eating? What can be improved on? And this is how we're going to fix it.
That's really good because it's so accurate. All the phosphates, from soda pop and the different things
Yeah.
that they drink. What do you think about all the plethora of different kinds of diets? You sort of said that it can be so confusing. What is there a specific type of diet, or you do it based on blood type or on body weight or body composition? How do you decide what you think is the best diet for a particular person?
The diet for the best particular person is the one that they can stick to for life. is the one they're not going to feel too restrictive that's going to cause binge eating. You know, because if someone says, I'm going to do carnivore because that's what this YouTube video did, and then they do it for 2 weeks and then they can't do it anymore, right? And then they binge and they restrict and binge and restrict. So I say, do what diet, right? I don't really like to call it a diet. Do whatever nutrition program works for you that you can maintain for your whole life and that you don't feel so restrictive, right? Because women are in this binge, restrict cycle, and that's why they can't get the results. And then they feel guilty and they self-sabotage and they just go down the rabbit hole of, oh, I can't believe I did this. I'm gonna start tomorrow. And then tomorrow never comes. And they continue with the binge, restrict. So it's really about, you know, what nutrition plan is gonna work for that particular person.
You know, I usually advocate for people is the diet, you know, recommended by the American Academy of Lifestyle Medicine, because it's so simple that anybody can do it. It's just got three parts. First thing is eat real food. You know, what comes out of a can and a bag and a box isn't real food. So eat real food, eat mostly fruits and vegetables. Eat as much organic as you can afford.
Yeah.
Eat the best, cleanest meat that you can find. And don't eat so much.
You know, yeah, right.
Smaller portions. And it's like everybody can do those simple things in terms of changing your diet. Moving things is a place to start.
Yeah, and women think they have to restrict. So there's always going to be some form of restriction, right? If you want to get to a goal. But the restriction has to feel least restrictive to that person. So for instance, someone might be going and getting a chai latte every day, but some other person might like chocolate cake every day. Well, somebody might have to take out that chocolate cake. That's going to feel least restrictive because maybe she can replace it with something healthier. And the other person is going to take out the chai latte because she probably might not need that. So it's whatever feels least restrictive to that person, because it's always going to be some type of restriction. But the other thing I do in my program is we cook once a month. So, and it's all whole foods and it's all from scratch. Because Dr. Champagne, you'd be surprised, women don't know how to cook. Like they don't even have utensils in their homes. Like, you know, I have a client right now. She says, Erin, I don't even, like, you need to tell me what to buy, like spatulas and everything. Because she doesn't know how to cook because it's just been processed food that she takes with her to work. So, you know, once a month, you know, I send them the recipes. It's beautiful. It's amazing food. And what people don't understand is you can make healthy food taste amazing, right? And when you are cooking it yourself, when you have that garlic in the pan, the onion in the pan, you smell that fresh aroma and it came from earth, and they each have a medicinal purpose for us. I mean, the colors and the smells, and it just really, fuels your senses and it makes you want to cook from the earth, right? And I can tell you that, you know, whatever you believe in, God or the universe, those things are there for us humans. It's really amazing when you think about it, you know. So I teach them how to cook, and it's all from scratch. And it can be anything from like tacos to wraps to salads to smoothies to overnight oats and to healthy cookies. But they're not processed, and that's when they really get excited about food. And you know, my program, I make sure like they have to bring their food with them. And I say, you know, 90% of the time, you have to be cooking your own food and bring it with you. 10% of the time, it's okay. Go ahead and have, you know, something that you want. But 90% of the time, you have to bring your food with you, because you can't rely on like a going to work and having them feed you, right? You can't rely on the cafeteria food. When I used to work in the hospitals, you know, we would get rewarded with cookies and donuts and pastries, you know, but you can't rely on that. And you have to learn to bring your own food to feed yourself throughout the day, so you don't get to the point of no return where you're grabbing the food that's not healthy for you. So I teach them that they have to. It is just a non-negotiable. They have to meal prep and they have to bring their own food with them.
You know, I try to tell people it's a really advantageous. It's like what you said, God gave us all these wonderful things. And there's a piece of paper that I have in the office. It's called Eating the Rainbow. so that it's,
Yes.
red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, the colors of the rainbow. And then you pick a fruit or a vegetable that have each one of those colors and try to rotate through that every day. I remember back in the day when I was still working in the ER, and I was the director of the ER, and I was on a committee. It was like all of the heads of the departments met the last Tuesday night of the month, to talk about whatever. And I was on that committee for 8 years, and that's why I remember it so well. And I was always complaining about the cafeteria food. It would be like at the end of all this discussion about money and, whatever planning, at the end, the CEO would always say, "Is anybody else have anything they want to say?" And I'd put my hand up and, "Can we talk about the food in the cafeteria? That these people are captured to eat." And I said, "Yesterday's vegetable was mashed potato, baked potato, and French fries. That was what you gave those nurses and PAs and all the doctors and all, that's what you gave them for a choice to eat. And you guys, we, the hospital, pay their health insurance premiums, and look what you're feeding them." And they'd always like, whatever, and that was like 30 years ago, but it's still the same today. I mean,
Still the same in most
I go to the
hospitals.
Cleveland Clinic, and right in the Cleveland Clinic, right next to the cafeteria is a McDonald's.
Yes. And you, some of, most of them, you walk in, there's in the entrance, there's a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, for sure.
So
Absolutely.
we're not teaching the healthcare professionals health.
Yeah, for real. And I remember we were going through the line one day, and the guy that was in front of me, the person that was in front of me in this line, was one of the gastroenterologists. And he had like greasy pizza and I don't know what else on his plate. And I looked at him. He was kind of a young guy. And I looked at him, I said, "You really gonna eat that?" He said, "Doesn't matter what you eat." And this was a guy that was a gastroenterologist who was supposed to be an expert in GI diseases, saying it doesn't matter what you eat. So it's from the top down, top
It
all the way
is,
down to the
yes.
bottom. It's interesting that you say that women don't know how to cook. I mean, how does that happen these days?
Because they rely on the quick fixes.
Really?
Yeah, they rely on the quick fixes. They're busy. Women over 40 and 50, they're burnt out, busy, and tired. They've taken care of everybody to the point where they feel selfish taking care of themselves now, because that's society. If you take care of yourself as a woman, you're made to feel guilty. So in my program, I teach them, this is very profound. You have to put yourself first. It is not selfish to put yourself first. You have to take care of your health. Because this is what it is. I mean, if you don't take care of your health, nobody else is going to take care of you. Look at my mom. My mom, we'll get into that, but nobody took care of my mom in her last breath. And so that's why I really, really push, you have to take care of your health. You have to advocate for yourself. This is about full accountability. Nobody is responsible for you but you.
Absolutely. If the caregiver doesn't take care of themselves, they have no give left to give.
It's very true, yeah.
Well, we're going to take a really quick break here. Today, we're talking to Erin McDermott. She is really advocating for menopausal women over 40. And tell us real quickly before we go to the break, what is the name of your website and your location where people can physically come and see you?
I'm at revolutionfitness.club and Erin McDermott Fitness. Facebook is where I do most of my posting on Erin McDermott and Revolution Fitness in Littleton, Massachusetts.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a really quick break, everybody. We've got a whole lot more to talk about. You won't want to miss the rest of this when we talk about health and fitness and more. We'll be right back. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store. And they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Well, welcome back, everyone. Erin, I really want to get around to talking to you about one of the things that really changed your journey was what and changed you professionally and personally was the death of your mother. You know, you talked about that a little bit, and why didn't you tell us the full scope of what was going on with that?
Well, just so you know, this is the first time that I've spoken about this, you know, on a public forum. So, but I know that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, you will understand this. Your listeners will understand this, although it's just extremely tragic and extremely sad. I'm going to give you the kind of the short version. So my mom is 79 years old, very strong and healthy for age. She did have some osteopenia, she had cataracts, but she was very full of life. You know, she had always been a vibrant presence in our family. Four daughters. I'm one of the four daughters, and she had eight grandchildren. So I was one of the daughters to have her first grandchild, and my daughter now has an 8-year-old. So I'm a Grammy, and she was a great Grammy. But my mom, healthy 79-year-old. She set up on a cruise September of 23. So no, this is not during the COVID, right? This is after COVID. She went with her significant other, not my dad. They've been divorced for quite some time. And of course, it was supposed to be a joyful experience, very well-deserved getaway. But what unfolded was an awful nightmare none of us could have ever imagined. You know, I just want to let you know, in 21, I had a really good conversation. This is when, you know, I was taking your course, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, about the vaccines. I was telling my mom everything I learned. It seemed like she was not going to take the vaccine, and I felt really good about that. But unfortunately, one of her friends had called and said, hey, I got the vaccine. I didn't have any reactions, you know. And so my mom said, all right, she went out and got it. So When she told me that, the first thing I thought, I prayed. I said, please, God, do not let my mother suffer. Because I've heard of all these horrible things. Like, the last thing I wanted to do was my mother to suffer. So last thing you want anybody that you love to suffer, right? And it was just awful devastation. I was worried that the shot could, you know, potentially harm her. And of course, unlike many thousand others, I was just beyond devastated that she actually did this. So when my mom was on the cruise, they were about probably a week in, she called my sister because she said she wasn't feeling well. She had a sore throat. She was having trouble eating and drinking. She felt like her throat was swelling up a little bit, and she was feeling weaker, and she had a little bit of vomiting. So she probably got something, you know, on the cruise, which a lot of people get sick on the cruises. So my sister urged her to go visit the ship's medical clinic. And my mom did. She went. She explained her symptoms, that she was having a little bit of vomiting. She couldn't eat. She couldn't drink. And they said, go back to your room and eat a high calorie diet. And yeah, it's like, she just told you that she couldn't eat or drink and she doesn't feel well. And she's a 79. And they also gave her cough suppressant. But of course, you know, my mom followed instructions and went back to her room. And this went on, I think, through the night, and since think the next day, she just wasn't feeling good. So she went back to the clinic and she became weaker, and they tested her for COVID. So the results came back positive. And I think it was a paramedic. It wasn't even a doctor that gave her Paxlovid. So Paxlovid, I don't know when it was not emergency use authorized, but it was an emergency use authorized for the treatment of COVID. And it has well over 200 drug-to-drug interactions that can cause severe reactions and death. So they gave my mother that. She took the full dose, and then she went back. They said, go back to your room and isolate. So they wanted her to quarantine in her room. So my mom, ever trusting of the authority, she complied. And in her cabin, she began to deteriorate pretty quickly after taking the Paxlovid. So she experienced relentless vomiting. She had severe diarrhea, back and forth to the bathroom. She was probably very, very dehydrated. Her condition worsened to the point that she actually became delirious and started hallucinating. Mm-hmm. And her significant other told that she was so confused that she got naked. She stripped the sheets off of the bed. She grabbed the sheets and the pillow and fell to the ground. And in her disoriented state, she tried to escape her room. So this is completely not like my mother. She was seeing people on the shelves, and nobody came and checked in on her. So despite her being under the care of the so-called medical people, right, they told her to quarantine, which means they gave her a treatment plan and they didn't check in on her, which they should have done. So this is complete medical negligence on their part. Then the unthinkable happened. So one of her trips to the bathroom, she just collapsed. And her significant other called 911. They tried everything, intubation, IV fluids. They gave her 10 amps of epi. But after 45 minutes, they were just unable to revive her. And she passed away isolated in a foreign place, very far from her family. And, you know, the ship docked in Canada because it was an Alaskan ship. And they left in Florida and ended up in Canada. So her body was placed under the custody of the Canadian coroners. So they performed an autopsy, and interesting enough, I didn't realize that you just can't request an autopsy. Only the coroner can say yes or no. And apparently, even if the president says I want autopsy, the coroner is the only one that will say yes. So they did do an autopsy because it was such an odd way of her dying. And they found blood clots in her lungs, clots in her trachea, pulmonary edema, and conditions that she had never suffered from in her life. You know, she was healthy. So for my family, just the pain didn't end up there. We just never got to see her again. Her last rites were performed over Microsoft Teams video call. Obviously heartbreaking, surreal experience for, you know, my mom, who deserves so much more, and us. So, you know, that is the sad story. And it was a tragedy. It's like the lack of care, the isolation, the blind trust in the process that failed her, right? All of it taught me and people that I talk to, and that I want to teach people hard lessons about the importance of self-advocacy, questioning authority, and ensuring that no one, especially someone you love, is ever left alone in their darkest hour. You know, or be put in a position where they cannot trust anyone to help them from literally dying. This is how important it is to stand up for yourself, to advocate for yourself, to ask questions, and to not do anything blindly. It's literally life or death. I really just want to share this story, just not only to honor my mom, but to remind us of how, you know, fragile life can be, how critical it is to stand up for ourselves and the love and our all our loved ones in the time of crisis. So that's the story. It's very sad. It's been a really, really hard year. I can't still believe she's not here. And you know, we can't sue because they protect the shifts, something called the Death on the High Seas Act, and it depends on how many nautical miles you are out in sea. And it was complete medical negligence. The coroner, I kept asking the coroner, did you do a CBC? Did you do liver function tests? Did you do kidney function tests? And she kept ignoring, oh yes, we'll do them. But she never ever told me that, you know, the results or anything, because I wanted to see, was an allergic reaction to the Paxlovid? You know, was it because she got three shots of the COVID? My mother doesn't just drop dead, right, on a cruise ship after giving medication. What they caused, the cause of death was COVID. So it was COVID and she had some coronary artery disease, but I'm sorry, coronary artery disease does not cause hallucinations.
Or blood clots in the lungs.
I mean, seriously, right. So, and it was but they closed the case. We can no longer talk to the coroner. She ignored my calls. And that's it. It's her cause of death was COVID. So it's sad. Yeah, it was a sad story.
Have you seen the documentary Vaxxed 3?
I haven't seen that one yet, no.
Well, Vaxxed 3 is a compilation. It's 2 hours long, and it's a compilation of stories similar to yours.
Yeah.
People that either died because they could not have access to ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, or they died in isolation in hospital on ventilators on their stomachs, or they were misdiagnosed, that they really, yeah, you know, they were told they had COVID, but really they had like kidney failure and died. You know, the one thing that, you know, Polly Tommy, who's a friend of mine and she works for Children's Health Defense, one of the things that she said in the film that I think was the most important sentence in the film, and it was just sort of brushed over, was she said, I've been doing 40 to 50 of these interviews a day all across the country that we compiled into, you know, pick the ones that were going to be in the movie. and a day, and I've heard the same stories. And it doesn't matter if I'm in Seattle or San Francisco or St. Louis or somewhere in Massachusetts, they're all the same. And that somebody needs to look into this way that people were mistreated, misdiagnosed, mistreated along the way. And when I left there, you know, I was asked to come to the showing and do like a Q&A response. And I said, you know, all of these people were places where people died, which would apply to you too, with what you just told me. You know, they need to have like a yellow tape wrapped around them to say this is a crime scene. You know,
these
are criminal acts that have gone unanswered. And it sounds like the same thing happened to your mom. And I'm so sorry to hear that story.
And it's sad because I am one of thousands, you know, and for you who's listening, there's nothing, even me as an activist, as a nurse, who I learned everything about the COVID shot and told my mother, there's nothing I could have done for her. She made up her mind. She's a grown woman, you know, and I have to surrender to that. Right. So if anybody's listening, you just have to surrender. It's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. These people are grown-ups. They do make their own decisions, you know, and I don't have any regrets. You know, I don't have any regrets as I tried to help my mom. I did everything in my power to not have her take that shot. So, and it's just, I just couldn't help her on the cruise. Right.
Well, that's a good lesson for people to hear even now, because people are still dropping over dead from the COVID shots, or they've got turbo cancers or something like that. And the people who tried so hard to warn, to advocate against, to show information, to do all these things, to get people to not take these jabs, these bioweapons, and they did it anyways. I think that they suffer from some level of guilt. I could, if only I could have, or if only I would have said, or if only whatever. And I think that that is very wise advice, Erin, to tell people you have to know that you did the best you could. And and as long as you know, you left it on the playing field, you did the best you could. And it was really out of your hands.
It was out of my hands. And unfortunately, the choices that my mother made led her to how she died. And it's hard for me to say that, and it might be hard for people to hear. It's their choices that they made. It wasn't your choice. And as soon as you surrender to that, there is you can breathe, you can exhale. Like, it is in God's hands. It is in the universe's hands. Whatever you believe, it is out of your hands. You don't have control over everything, right? You only have control over you and what you do. And so that's what I have to keep teaching. You have to be powerful within yourself and what you believe in, and really, what are your true intentions? That's what you stand true in. And that's what I always stand true in as a nurse. You know what I mean? And because of that, I've saved lives. But because people followed authority and they didn't ask questions, is they're too embarrassed or they're too afraid, they're dying.
Right.
That is nobody else's fault but their own. I hate to say that. You know, it's just the truth. And when you can surrender to that, knowing that I have zero regret, because my mother made her own decisions. And, you know, luckily for that, I took your course and I learned so much, and I told her. Right. So I did everything I could. And then she took that knowledge and did what she wanted to do. And so I surrender to that, because that was her decision. She's a grown woman. And it's an unfortunate, very sad situation. But, you know, my mom grew up she was born in 1944, right? So it wasn't like she had a lot of advocacy through her life. So in the 40s and 50s, information wasn't as readily accessible as it is today, right? Most people relied on the trusted authority figures, like doctors or government officials, right? And so without alternative sources of information, questioning their advice was very less likely, and it was uncommon. And there was almost a moral emphasis on self-sacrifice and doing what was right for the family, community, or, you know, even at a personal cost. So it's like, you can't really blame people of my mother's age for not having a backbone to stand up for themselves, because when in their generation, they really weren't taught to do that. So she was only doing what she knew was right for her through her life lessons. And so that is what, when you understand that, right? And now we have a different generation. It's my job to relieve that generational pain and now move forward in new advocacy in my generation to really stand tall in who you are as a person and believe what you believe, and to question everything and don't ever be embarrassed. And I can tell you, Dr. Tenpei, that I have been embarrassed as a nurse to ask questions, but I was always the one to ask the dumb questions because it was about taking care of people and their lives. I'm not scared to ask the questions. I never have been, because it has saved people's lives, but people are too afraid. But like I said, my mom's generation wasn't of that, but now we're moving out of that, and we have to move forward through more self-advocacy.
Which kind of brings me back around full circle in terms of you working with postmenopausal women, because some of them are in that mindset. So what do you find the most challenging mindset of them to overcome in encouraging them to stand up for themselves? What do you find the most challenging?
Yeah, it's honestly their family and closest friends who question what they're doing. You know, why are you eating differently? Why won't you go out with me? Why aren't you going to have this drink with me? You know, they're afraid that they're going to lose their friends. But sometimes if you want to have a new life, you have to let go of your old life. That's really what it is. And yeah, you are going to lose friends. You might even lose family members. But you're doing the right thing if you feel that in your heart you need to take this path on a better you, right? So that is probably the hardest thing. And then the other thing is that, you know, for my business, I'm online, I have to show their before and afters. And they really struggle with that because, you know, they're nervous, right? They're nervous to see their before and then their after, and they go through this process. Oh, you can't show my pictures. Don't show my pictures. But then they look so beautiful in the end and they feel so amazing. And we actually do a photo shoot to show their hard work. Wow. And then they start posting it on their social media page because they feel so great. So well, yeah.
Your personal picture is just astonishing.
Oh, thank you.
It's really, really like, wow. For somebody, you said you were 53.
And, 53, I mean, yeah.
You're just buffed and cut.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've been doing it a long time, 30 years. You know, strength training is the fountain of youth for me. It's the fountain of youth for menopausal women. It really is. I mean, it increases your metabolism. It'll get rid of your belly fat. It gives you goals and it empowers you, right? If you're lifting heavier, you feel great about yourself. Any exercise, 1 hour exercise releases the happy hormones for 12 straight hours. Oh, wow. So that is actually your natural Prozac. Right. So any exercise is great. But yeah, but they do have to get over, you know, they're bringing their food with them to work. They have to hear the people chatter about them. Aren't you going to eat this chocolate cookie I brought in? It's really, really hard for them. But they do amazing because they can do amazing things, you know. And I have a community of women. We meet every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on a Zoom call to support each other. And I think that is a really, really defining factor in this program, is they have each other to talk about what's going on in the week, how they're handling it. And I also keep women in my group who've been through my program to help mentor the women to go through this. And, you know, how do they handle when somebody at work is giving them a hard time about eating healthy or bringing their food in, and why won't, you know, and so they help them go through that. But it's a journey. It's a really beautiful journey because women are strong. They're very powerful. And I'm telling you, if you can hold the baby and push out a baby after 9 months, you can do anything.
There you go. So how do people sign up for your program, Erin?
Usually they can get in touch with me through my Facebook page, Erin McDermott, or they can go to my website, revolutionfitness.club.
Yeah, so that's really, really important. I like the way that you have a community put together of support.
Yes.
Really, it's hard. I mean, you just can't do it alone. I mean,
you cannot do this alone. No. And that's what a lot of the women say when, because some women fly to meet me to do the photo shoot.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, what they always say, I didn't know what to expect, but everybody is so supportive, right? And so that's what they love. And they get to meet the women that they've spent the 12 week with in person, you know, and the importance of community so you're not feeling alone is so important to go through the journey. Yep.
And so, if people want to do this more than 12 weeks, can they stay longer
Oh,
involved?
yes, absolutely. I actually prefer them 6 months or longer. Yeah.
Oh.
It depends on their starting point, because what women, especially menopausal women, this is not just a program, it is a lifetime. You want to be healthy from 50 to 100. We want to live healthy and strong for the next 100 years of our life. So it's not a program, it is a lifestyle, and that's really important.
That really is important in it. And that's what people have to think about if they're wanting to, you know, there's probably barely a woman out there, yourself excluded, but barely a woman out there over the age of 50 who doesn't say, oh, I wish I could lose 10 pounds.
Yes, and they can. And they can. And sometimes it's just little tweaks. Sometimes it's just little tweaks, you know, and what they're missing is the consistency of whatever they're doing, because they're consistently inconsistent with their nutrition, with their strength training, with their cardio, with how they're eating, with when they're eating. And when they get consistent, everything changes for them.
And what would you say to somebody like me who hates to exercise? I do it. I mean, it's just like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I've been that way my whole life. It's like I've not so kiddingly said more than once, I'd rather take a beating than go to a gym for an hour. What would you
Well,
say
is there
to
any
somebody?
type of exercise that you like? I mean, it can be dance, you know, it can be tennis, it can be just putting your headphones on and jamming out to your favorite song. You know, as long as you get your heart rate going. And then I think like music to me is just motivation. I just love music, so I get really motivated by music. So putting your favorite music on, you know, and then starting slowly from there and adding in. But it's just like, what do you like to do? This got to be, you know. There's so many forms of exercise that you can do. You don't have to just go to a gym.
All right. Well, I wanted you to say that to not only to me directly, but I'm sure there's a lot of women who are listening to this who are saying, oh, but you know, an hour taking care of myself and going to the gym or doing something like that, it's like everything else is getting put behind. And so I guess this goes back to what you said earlier about putting yourself first.
You have to put yourself first because you have to think about the next 50 years of your life. How do you want to live the next 50 years? Do you want to be at risk for breaking a bone, or do you want to fall and be like, heck, my bones are so strong, they didn't break, you know? So that's really what you have to consider. It's the next 50 years of your life, and every workout is getting you stronger.
Very good. Well, we're just going to close out here. We've got just a couple of minutes left. What words of wisdom would you like to leave to our audience here tonight?
One of my favorite quotes is, if you refuse to accept anything but the very best, you very often get it. And I think that I've lived that throughout my life, because when you say no to the things that you know aren't right for you, your yes will come, and your yes will just happen like a miracle.
That's wonderful. You're right. That is right. You know, what is that? There's an expression, I think, that good is the enemy of great. It, you know, that we accept the good because it's okay, but it's the enemy of great. And so I think that's what you're advocating for, which is wonderful. So, Erin, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. This has been a great conversation. Lots of inspiration, lots of good things. One more time, tell people where they can find you. Say it a little bit slower, where people can find you, and where they can come and actually visit you if they live in Massachusetts.
Yeah, so my website is revolutionfitness.club, revolution just like revolutionfitness.club. I do most of my fitness posting on Facebook at Erin McDermott, and I am in Revolution Fitness in Littleton, Massachusetts.
Which is where?
Massachusetts is about 45 minutes outside of Boston.
Okay, so it's close to the Boston area. Yes.
It is close to the Boston area. Yes.
Very, very good. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a wonderful conversation. And this has been a really great conversation about health and fitness and forgiveness, forgiving yourself and moving forward in your life. So I want to thank you so much, Aaron, for joining me here tonight. I want to thank all of our people who come and join us at the Tenpenny Files on Your Health. And I close all of my podcasts with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. He will never let you down. Aaron, thank you so much for being here. Keep doing what you're doing because you walk the talk, babe. You look wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being an inspiration to all of us. And to
You
everyone else, thank you for being here. We'll see you next week, same place, same time. Have a good week, everybody. Good night, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.